From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we're on the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud, man. We got a lot to discuss, man. A lot of hockey news and a lot of hockey events over the last week and some change, man. We had the expansion draft. We had an NHL draft. We got trades, acquisitions, and moves, not just only with the Blue Shirts, the New York Rangers, but across the league as a whole, man. So it's a lot to discuss, man. So we'll jump right into it, man. We'll try to get to everything that had happened and get our thoughts and opinions on the hockey over the last week and a half. You know, with our own team, you know, we could talk about the move last week as far as Pavel Buchnevich being traded. That there's no real surprise out of me from that. If you saw Ranger Proud's Facebook post about last week, and he put it up, you know, as far as, you know, do you think he's going to be traded or not? And I said then and then on Twitter, of course he should be traded. His value is as high as it has ever been as a New York Ranger. So they found a deal with the St. Louis Blues, getting that trade for Sammy Blais and getting a second-round pick out of that. I know there's been questions as far as did the Blue Shirts get enough out of that trade. Yeah, that's to be debatable, and that's why fans have the conversation. And there's been a lot of back and forth about that alone. But understandably, with the Rangers' point of view, in a year or two, you're going to be coming up against a lot of contracts and monies, and you got to find a way to accommodate all these people, a lot of these players. And the Rangers were looking ahead, and Buchnevich, you know, business-wise, it made sense. I get it. We've ran into these salary cap situations in a couple of these off seasons, and they figured they might as well get something back for him. Now, we'll have the discussion. We'll talk about the Rangers trade. We'll talk about all the draft picks that they had in the draft. And then, of course, the signing of Stanley Cup champion Barclay Goodrow, who's going to bring a lot of grit to this hockey club. And now you can talk about his six-year, $21.8 million deal. We'll have some fun with that. But he's a solid hockey player. And if you watched the Stanley Cup playoffs like Ranger Prowl did, like Glenn did, like I did, you know, the series versus Florida, Carolina, the Islanders, the Montreal Canadiens in the Stanley Cup, he was a big factor as far as being a grinder, a glue piece, and just solid penalty killer. So let's talk about it, man. The Rink Podcast with Ranger Prowl, we got a lot to discuss, man. Draft, expansion, trades, acquisition. Ranger Proud, Forever Blue Shirts, and of course Empire Sports Media, RP, is an honor. Let's talk about this, and we'll bring on Glenn after that. How you doing, sir? How's everything, man?
Very good, Steve. How's it going tonight?
Pretty good. I'm excited to talk, man. We have a lot to discuss, man, all in the short, because normally we don't have this, like, all at once, you know, with
yeah,
all the, been, the type of the news and all that, you know?
Yeah, it's been an interesting, I guess, 2 weeks, 14 days of a little bit of everything going on. It's been an unusual year. The flat salary cap has a lot of teams reeling. The Rangers are one of them. So a lot of news, a lot of craziness, a lot of rumors, a lot of rumors. So we're just trying to deal with it piece by piece. But it's been a lot going on, especially today with tomorrow free agency starting at noon. There's the Rangers have been it's weird. The Rangers have been quiet. There's been a lot of rumors about the Rangers and players going and coming and so forth. So it's Rangers Twitter's been really having a slight meltdown, as always, Steve. It's been an interesting. It's been a lot of reading and a lot of some crazy talk. I, for one, for the record, am not so hyped up on Jack Eichel, so I've been a little frustrated with all, I guess, the rumors of players that could or may be going and not going. I don't know. Really quick, Steve, my theory on this is we just came out of a rebuild, and things are progressing and looking well, and now you hear them talking about the players they want to move not just with the Eichel trade, just overall. And I know it's all a rumor, but to me, it's almost taking a step backwards. You know, you can use Buchnevich as an example. He was a restricted free agent, arbitration rights. They traded him to St. Louis for a player I'm not familiar with, and that really has nothing to do with it. I just felt the return for the Buchnevich trade wasn't what it could have been. I felt the Rangers did not need – I felt like the Rangers rushed into the trade, which gave a lot of speculation that another trade was going to be coming and hasn't happened yet. And his value was high. I had told you that a couple of weeks ago, and we had talked about it, and it might happen, it might not happen. If you're gonna trade a top six forward, I know you want to bring a player back that has a little bit of grit and physical size and is a good hockey player. I expected more back from Buchnevich. I don't think he needed to make the trade before the deadline unless he's so hyped on getting Eichel and his huge contract that he's preparing for some sort of cap relief. I mean, he just went and signed a nice contract, Buchnevich, that is, in St. Louis, a deal that the Rangers absolutely could have made if they wanted to. So we don't know all of what's going on in the background. I understand that when we're not supposed to. But I guess from a fan standpoint, there's a lot of questioning going on. What's next? Why are we talking about trading Strom? Why all of a sudden is Zibanejad's name getting thrown out there? There's a lot. You can't go tit for tat on a trade. A trade is supposed to make your team better. If you're going to be even, then what's the point of making the trade unless you're unhappy with the player? So it's been a little confusing on my end. I've been biting my tongue a lot about it because anything you say on Twitter right now is just a confrontation. So I've been trying to stay off a lot of the subjects. So it's just that everyone talks with their heart, and it's great. Ranger fans are great. I don't care what anyone says, Ranger meltdown and problems and this and that. Ranger fans love their team. They want to win. It's a great place, so I understand all of that. But on the flip side to it, there's a lot going on and so many names, and I'm sure you guys have read it. I've read Jones. I've read Keitel. I've read Strom. I read Zibanejad. I read a first-round pick. I mean, I think they're giving the farm away for Eichel, and he might be the greatest thing to ever come, but it just hasn't happened yet because, yes, he's played on a poor team, but he also has a lot of injuries going around. He's an abdominal injury they've been talking about. He still has to go for this neck surgery. I'm just not as convinced as everybody else. I'm probably wrong. It wouldn't be the first time. But I'm not as hyped up like when we were talking about Panarin. You know, there was a guy you knew you wanted him, you needed him, and they got him. There's a lot going on here, a lot of pieces in play. You know, I read Gorgiev might get traded, and now all of a sudden he wants to be a number one goaltender. Are they throwing him in the deal? I mean, how many guys are you going to give to Buffalo if you wanted Eichel? I was never one of these 6-for-1 kind of guys. I just don't see the benefit of it. I just don't see – if you traded Strom, for instance, guys, and you bring Eichel in, so now you're still in the same spot. You're not really strong centers. You'll have Zibanejad. You'll have Eichel. You probably won't have Hedel if this deal goes through. You'll have Gaudreau, and you'll have Rooney. I don't see it's an improvement. I see that it's even, and that's not what makes teams better. I always thought you build a top six team, you polish it up with good, solid, strong top bottom six guys, you polish it up a little bit, and you go. Here, to me, it sounds like we're starting over again. So I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe I'm just looking at it wrong from where I'm looking at it. But I don't know how this is all going to shake out.
I mean, first and foremost, I'm almost borderline insulted that the fact that you said that you bit your tongue on Twitter, RP. If there's ever a place you could just be yourself, Mr. Ranger Proud, it's here on your podcast. It's the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. You can say whatever you want on here. Nobody's going to check you.
If we're going to go that route, I just think the Eichel trade is just not the right move. First off, if you're bringing a guy with 4 years left at $10 million a year, and then in the next break you're talking about how are we going to sign Chesterkin, Kako, Lafreniere, if Gorgiev is here, I mean, which way are we talking? You can't have your cake and eat it too. We already know that, especially with the way the salary cap is. So if you bring Eichel on, you're probably not going to be able to sign Zibanejad. you're going to lose Strome probably in that deal or a deal to Vegas. So in 2 years, we're back to only one or two centers again. I just don't see how they're building to get to the next level. I think once the Eichel trade is done, whether it's to New York or I just saw Vegas, I think it was, made a big offer to Buffalo. I think then everyone gets their heads back on their shoulders the right way. I mean, we've been talking about Eichel for 5 or 7 weeks now. Obviously, Buffalo's trying to squeeze every last ounce of a deal out, and I just don't see why. He still owned the Rangers. True or false, Steve and Glenn, the Rangers are more than one player away from the semifinals of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Is one player going to make a difference to get us there? I don't think so. I think they're more than that. I think they need more than that. You saw the playoffs this year. The Rangers are not a playoff caliber team yet. I think bringing Eichel in and moving all these guys out, I just don't see how it's going to help. I don't say it's going to help this year if he has to get neck surgery and misses 4 months. Barely played last season. So now we're talking about worrying about 2 years from now when Eichel's hopefully back on top of his game. I'm not willing to throw in next season already. So I just don't understand the whole logic around it. I know guys are hyped up for it. People want to see him and this and that. I just don't see it. I just don't see where it's going to – I'm not looking for a win-now attitude, but aren't the Rangers talking about winning now when they fired Gorton and J.D. and Quinn and didn't like the direction they were going? They wanted to get the ball rolling faster now. Now you're going to bring Eichel in, and he may not be here for half the season or a third of the season. So is that hypocritical of what you just did 3 months ago?
Whatever happened in that front office as far as the direction of where they're trying to bring this franchise, it raises a lot of good questions as far as rebuild, retool. I mean, it's almost like we had this conversation 3-4 years ago. Let's get Glenn's thoughts on what you just said, and then also with Buchnevich going to St. Louis and he getting that 4-year deal. Glenn, it's been a while, man. It's good to hear you back here on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, and on every other week basis we've been here on the off season. But dude, what's going on, man? What's your thoughts, man? I'm gonna sit back, I'm gonna take some notes, see what you said, and I'll say a couple things and go back to RP because there's a lot to discuss, man. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back with you guys. I don't think you really need me. RP pretty much said everything I was going to say.
I'm sorry, Glenn.
No, that's fine. I'll try to hit some things one at a time. You guys may remember that Barkley Gaudreau was one of the guys that I was talking about back even during the season as being a guy that we would want to get. So, maybe the term is a little high, the salary is a little high. The rumors that I saw was that there were other teams that were willing to give him that type of salary. So I don't think the Rangers overpaid in a way of, they were kind of competing against themselves. I think there were other teams that were willing to give him that type of contract. And I'm really happy that they brought him aboard. I think being able to stick him at center helps to strengthen the team up the middle. Going back to the Carolina series now 2 seasons ago, all Rangers fans were complaining about, the team needs some toughness. Even before the Wilson thing, team needs some toughness, team needs, the guys that are going to go north-south. Well, he's one of them. He's one of the good ones in the league. And I thought that was definitely a step in the right direction to sign him. As far as Bucci, they were trying to open up a slot, too. Besides the fact that he was going to be a restricted free agent and he was going to get a raise and, they're going to have their own cap issues in a year or two, I think they were also trying to create an opening for, some of the younger guys. I don't know, RP, if you know – if this is true, I heard some rumors that maybe they were going to shift Lafreniere over to the right wing and put him on the first line. So I think they were trying to open up a slot as well. Could they have gotten a little more for him? Probably, but, they didn't have that much leverage because he's going to be restricted free agent next year. you know, so other teams are going to, you know, try to hold them to, you know, not giving up too much. Now, I do watch a lot of St. Louis games, and I really like Sammy Blaze. He's got speed. He's an in-your-face kind of player. He's got decent size. You know, he's not a goal scorer, but he's going to be a bottom six forward. So I think he fits right into, you know, what the plan was of bringing in guys that are, you know, quote, tough to play against. So while I thought they might have been able to get more for Buchnevich, the fact that they were trying to open a spot, the cap, trying to be harder to play against, and they got the draft pick, too, with that. So I don't think that was as bad as a lot of Ranger fans were making it out to be. I'm not upset with that. On to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, Chris Drury cannot stay far enough away from Jack Eichel. I have no interest in him whatsoever. I mean, you guys know how I feel about Strome. I think Strome is adequate, you know, playing on that line with Panarin and Kako or whoever else they're going to put there. You know, as far as the injury, I mean, that's a risk. That's a, he may come out of this just fine and waltz his way to the Hall of Fame and we'll say, geez, we, you know, we should have taken a chance on him. But I mean, that's a big risk to me, for what you're going to have to give up. And, you know, especially if then they have to let Zibanejad go, if Eichel comes over here, That's just a lot to give up for a guy that you just don't know if he's going to be the same or if he's going to, you know, be out for half a season because he re-injures it or something. Now, the rumor I heard was that if he has surgery, he may miss the whole season. But even if he misses, you know, half of it or two-thirds, what RP said was right. I mean, getting rid of Gorton and JD was because they want to win now. So you're going to bring in a guy who's going to miss most or all of the season, possibly. It just seems to go against what the philosophy was a couple of months ago. And, you know, I understand he's 24 years old, but the other thing about Eichel that I've never really liked, and I understand he's been on a bad team and he's frustrated and all, but I question his character. I mean, he always seems like he's pouting and complaining and, you know, I mean, he was the second pick in the draft. You knew he was coming into a bad team. He was going to be the face of the franchise. He was going to be the one that was going to help lift them up and make them a competitive team. And, you know, I know it's not on his shoulders. That's also on management to surround him with the right type of players. But I just haven't liked his attitude. And one of the things I liked about this team was it just seemed like the camaraderie was really good, everybody pulling for themselves, and I think that's important. But I see him, you know, maybe not as a disruptor of that, but somebody who's just not going to contribute to it. So when you put all those things together, and the other thing, from what I understand, he wants to get the surgery. Buffalo doesn't want him to get the surgery. I assume the reason for that is they don't want him to be out for a year to try to trade him. But I also wonder if it's because they're concerned that he may not be the same player when he comes back, and they want to trade him as the Jack Eichel from the last 3 or 4 years and not the player that he becomes after surgery. So, I mean, I guess I'm into a little conspiracy theory there, but I just wonder about, you know, what Buffalo's thinking is. You know, as far as try to move him. I know they can also sit and wait as well. But as far as for the Rangers, and you guys know I think Strome is adequate. I don't want to start moving like RP was saying. Guys like Hedl and, you know, Jones. Let's see how the defensive players kind of, you know, fall into place. I know we could afford to lose them, but I don't want to be throwing a lot of talent to Buffalo for him. I just think it's too much of putting the eggs in one basket. You know, the thing about this team was that a couple of months ago was that the team was very top-heavy talent-wise, and it is, and that they needed to get some guys in there that were going to be grinders and guys that were going to, you know, put faces up against the glass and push people around. And like RP said, it seems now like, you know, now we're trying to bring in more talent. I don't think this team needs more talent. I think they need a bottom six, that, certainly a fourth line that's going to, you know, I don't want to say protect some of these guys, but make the other teams look over their shoulder a little bit. And I think Blaze and Goudreau are a good start for that. And I would rather see them take care of that part of the team, because I think the talent up in the top six is just fine. So here's my thoughts. There you go.
Hey, Glenn, I have nothing really else to add to that, man. You and RP kind of knocked it out the park for me, because first of all, let me say this. You know, you guys bring up the Jack Eichel situation. Like me, it was never even a thought because, you know, RP, how I am with rumors, I don't really – that's more you guys' lane. That you guys, as far as, like, you know, talking about rumors, it could be any sport. I don't really get into the rumors until it actually is about to happen. Then I'd be like, okay, how does this fit with this team, this roster, this chemistry? And I'm with you just from afar. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Because to the points you made, and you made a great point even during the season last year, Glenn, as far as his productivity, as far as the second line center, talking about Ryan Strom. So you're getting him for less than half of the contract of Jack Eichel. Like Strom is about 4.5, and Jack Eichel's at 10.
Yep.
And you're getting availability out of Strom. You're getting a guy who's already familiar with the locker room, like. You know, the Jack Eichel situation with the injuries, doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to me. Just that's why I didn't even think about the rumors. And you brought up a good point. Both of you guys brought up the good point where if you go after it's more salary and you're going to have to give up something currently on this roster where things are kind of fine. I'm looking at, like, you know, your top six. I thought it was all right, basically, with, you know, Buchnevich being traded, because it opens up the spot for Kratsov or Kapokako, who needed more time on the ice, more opportunities. So, and plus it made it more sense because you could sharpen up your bottom six with Sammy Blaze. So that, to me, you can you could have got more for Buchnevich. That could be debatable, but as far as big picture, as far as your contract situation in the next two years, as far as making your bottom six more solid and giving your youth more opportunity, Pavel Buchnevich had his best year. Ranger Prowl's post last week. His trade value was at his peak. Or do you think you could get more out of that? It's debatable. I would have, the casino, I would have cashed my chips in right at the moment and traded them. So I don't necessarily hate the move. And I don't necessarily hate what we didn't get back. You know, we didn't get as much back. I look at the big picture as far as the roster. Now you have opportunities for Kapokako. You get him on this and within the top six, maybe a top three guy, you know, on that top line. You're right, Glenn. You know, if you look at the series with Goodrow, especially versus the Islanders and the Carolina Hurricanes, man, I mean, this is a guy. This is what a hockey fan would want on his team, man. We could talk about the contract, the 6 years, $21.8 million. His situation as far as is a grinder. He's a penalty killer. He's a leader. He's a Stanley Cup champion winner. We need that. We need additions like this. He's battle-tested. Yep. He's been there. He brings it to the locker room. Don't have an issue with it. It's like – it's almost within his name. Like, the contract is like goodwill. His last name is Goodrow, but it's goodwill because you're getting these intangibles that any hockey team, any hockey club would want on their roster. You know the guy can play. You know the guy can play on special teams. We need that. You know, Buchnevich did some good things last year on the penalty kill, and we're actually making up for that right there off rip. No issues with that. But RP, as far as the Eichel, you don't have to bite your tongue, bro. Like, I mean, logically, business-wise, why would you want to risk it when you have the injury? You have a potential surgery. You're doubling up, and you're going to give up assets just to what? Just to say you have another center, like you're gonna lose ground. It's like a step forward, two step backwards, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You just gotta continue to fine tune. You still gotta find a face-off guy anyway. You know, I mean, we gotta look at little things like that. We talked about that the last time, RP, and a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, we need to find guys who are gonna win these battles late in games. Control the puck.
The Grubb won 54% of his faceoffs before he got to Tampa when he was playing center in San Jose.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, he's been like 6 years in San Jose. So yeah, man. I mean,
yeah
man. I like this
faceoff.
We'll take it.
Yeah,
yep.
But
we'll take it.
Something, guys. You're talking about faceoffs, and in 6 years that Eichel's been in the NHL, he's a 44% faceoff win percentage.
Yeah.
So he's not even going to be the top faceoff guy on the Rangers, and they struggle as it is anyway. And now you're going to trade. If the rumor was right, and something is going to happen, because now I'm just reading that the Golden Knights, the rumor, this is all rumor, the Golden Knights have offered Riley Smith, Peyton Krebs, Nick Haug, and a first rounder for Eichel. If the Rangers rumor was true, but the Rangers rumor was so much better.
Yeah.
Weren't they offering – they were offering, I think it was Strom, Hedl, Jones, and a first-round pick.
Yep.
The Ranger offer totally blows away Buffalo's offer. And I don't believe that crap that they don't want to trade within the conference, because they only play the Rangers twice in the conference, or three times.
Yeah.
So I don't think – when you're making a trade with that caliber of a player, you're going to get the best that you can, whoever's offering it to you. So if this rumor is with Buffalo is true – Now they're calling out with Vegas is true, excuse me. Now they're calling out Buffalo. What do you want? The better deal or just to get rid of Eichel? There's just a lot going on. But that deal, that Ranger deal from Vegas is just ridiculous. So I don't know. I mean, obviously they're all trying to get it done tomorrow, because this is when teams really start to revamp their teams and when they really start to take a chunk out of their potential salary cap. So something's probably going to have to get done before noon tomorrow, or Buffalo's going to have even more trouble trying to trade this guy if they really want to, which I'm sure they do, because the other day the GM or the owner didn't even know if Eichel was skating on the ice or not. I mean, if you don't know what your top captain player is doing with an injury that he has at this point, you're really looking just to get rid of him. He kind of showed his hand there a little bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, so let's say – I'm not sure if Strom was in the rumor to go to Buffalo, but I am reading a lot of rumors about Strom going to Vegas. So if the Rangers made those two deals, you're getting Eichel and you're trading your two other centers in Strom and Hedl. So I guess they're comfortable going with Zibanejad, Eichel, if and when he gets in the lineup, Gaudreau, and Rooney. Tell me, guys, did that really improve from last year?
No, because you don't even know if Eichel is going to be able to play much this year.
And you finally got Hedl playing at the level you want him at. All these years, I just don't understand the logic. I don't know if Drury is trying to make that home run trade to put him there. This could all be for naught. You know, all this spec that we're talking about, Drury could be laughing in his office going, I'm not trading to Eichel. I don't know where these rumors came from. Or he is. But, you know, you finally get – I mean, Hedl isn't a great faceoff guy. He's 4 years, he's at 39%. Last year was his best year. It was almost 43% efficiency. Not great. I understand that. But bringing Eichel over is not that much better by far. And Strom has proven that he can play without Panarin. You know, everyone says he gets all those points because he feeds Panarin. First of all, he's going to get the puck on Panarin's stick, which he does very well. When Panarin was out with all that crap with Russia last year, Strom kept on going. So I don't understand why you get these guys at this level where they're playing well, and now all of a sudden everyone's scared about the next contracts they want. Then why bother? The Rangers always seem to run away from the big contract, except for Kreider, which was a horrible contract. Kreider's contract is horrible with that no-move clause. Horrible. They're projecting to put him on the third line this season. He's making, what, $8 million? $7
million? Yeah.
It's a horrible contract. That was on the other regime. I understand that. But now we're stuck with it. When you look at the cap and you look at the salaries that the New York Rangers are stuck with right now as a team, They need to make a lot of money. They almost need to start over again, which is a damn shame. This salary cap, I'm just looking it up now, is just it's crazy. I mean, they have a $59 cap hit, right? $59 million right now. You know, they have space. They have $21 million free. But mind you, if you bring Eichel in, you only have $10 million free, $11 million free, and that's without signing any other restricted free agents. That's without planning ahead for a Zibanejad re-signing. What you're going to give Lafreniere, Kako? I mean, you're going to give this one guy. He's going to take your projected cap space of $21 million you have right now. He's going to knock it down to $11 million in one trade. It'll offset a little bit depending on who they send over, but it's ridiculous. And they're right. Panarin is making $11 million this upcoming, guys. 11.6. Zibanejad will be making 5.3. Kreider's making 6.5. You get $24 million in those three guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, Strome was making 4.5. Gaudreau jumped right up there to 3.6. You got, and let's remember something, gang. You got to give Adam Fox a long-term deal.
And a big one.
Via bridge contracts for him. You know, Fox only making, you know, Fox won the Norris Trophy making $925.
Yeah.
Right.
He's a restricted free agent after this season, 21-22, right.
Well,
he's
going to
want another big payday.
You're making me laugh, RP. Do you have Cap Friendly old computer, too, like I do?
Yeah, and I'm like, I understand, right? So you understand why they're trying to look a year or two down the road, but that doesn't mean you bury these 2 years.
Yeah.
It has to be better. They need better cap management. Yeah, you want all these top guys, and Panarin is worth every dime. Panarin's worth every dime. Kreider was not worth the deal that he got. And I wanted him to stay a Ranger when it was going. But I don't think I want him to stay a Ranger for 7 years and $45.5 million.
Nope.
And he's got no trade, no moves, and modified no trade for the entire contract. I mean, what the heck were they thinking?
I remember the situation. Remember when this came up. Remember when this came up at that time, and he kind of had the blue shirts hostage in the sense of they needed him, and you're kind of like banking on what if he turns it around,
Right.
The part of what you're saying, RP, as far as the no trade, that's the bad part. That's where the Rangers kind of got burned. And I think this is where it's bad, where you looked at the contract, okay, 6.5, hopefully he has it because, you know, we talk about it forever with him, but – I mean, that's the situation when the Rangers needed him to come back, and everybody knows that. Kreider knew that. Fans knew that. But the no trade part of that deal, that's the part that screwed us, you know. So yeah, I mean, you're right, man. I mean, it's
next season,
the particulars.
If you look after next season, because this is what they're supposedly, you know, looking at after the end of this upcoming season. You're going to have Adam Fox, that's a restricted free agent. If Gauthier is still here, he's a restricted free agent. Kaapo Kakko, Vitali Kravtsov. And then you're going to have Zibanejad is an unrestricted free agent, and Ryan Strome would be an unrestricted free agent.
Right.
We're going to throw $10 million to Eichel? You're not going to be able to pay these guys.
You just look,
you know, Cap Friendly has this new column. I'm just seeing it. It's probably been there forever. Panarin's contract is 14% of the Rangers' salary cap. Truva is 9.8% of the salary cap. Chris Kreider is 8.8% of their salary cap. The numbers are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible to think about 3 years from now because you're going to be like the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know you're going to be losing guys because it just doesn't fit mathematically. The difference is Tampa Bay won 2 cups back-to-back. So what if they don't win for another 10 years now? They won back-to-back cups. Here, the Rangers have been doing all this in this rebuild and this coordinating players, and now you want to dump everybody because in 2 years you're not going to be able to afford them. Well, to me, that's might as well just start rebuilding again. Yeah. You might as well sell. So I can't see how it, even if you got rid of Strome, which is making $4.5 million, and you know now they were talking about other guys that are in the under $1 million range, Kittle and stuff. You're giving away, let's just say, $6 million, and when you bring Eichel over, his $10 million, you're still paying out $4 million than you have right now. It doesn't work out. They have an enormous salary cap issue. They have some. When you look at cap friendly, their contracts are huge. The numbers are just. Ryan Lindgren's making $3 million a year for 3 more years, and then he's a restricted free agent. It's what are you going to give Adam Fox, who already won a Norris Trophy in his second year in the NHL? Got to give him a hell of a lot more you give him Lindgren, though.
Yep.
Of course.
So I understand their problem today, but you can't sacrifice this whole season and some of the next to make the contracts work 3 years from now. You got to kind of balance it now and then. So I don't see how taking on a $10 million contract helps you. I don't care how good he is.
Dude, we're on the same page, man. We're on the same page, man.
And here's another thing. The guy that we just traded for Buchnevich, Sammy Blaze, is going to be in the same spot because he's a restricted free agent after next season with arbitration rights.
Right.
Now watch, he'll have a career year, and now what are you going to pay him?
Yeah.
It's funny the way it works out, but there's a lot of guys. You know, the funny thing about it is they have total control, unfortunately, over Adam Fox.
Yep.
Because he has no arbitration rights. So they're going to hopefully take care of him, but he has no leverage. He has none. He doesn't have an arbitration eligible. So it's going to be an interesting couple of years, and we're sort of in the middle of it now. Let's also talk about what happens if the Rangers trade Gorgiev. Now you got to start a backup goaltender. And there are a lot of them out there now. That's probably another thing they're trying to figure out now. Are you putting Gorgiev in a trade in the next 12 hours, 18 hours? Because if so, you got to find out who you're going to get as your backup in free agency, because I'm telling you guys, it's not going to be Keith Kincaid. He was good last year, but a lot of things just broke his way, too. He was here because of the expansion draft and did it. That was his primary role before COVID and taxi squads and all that other good stuff. So I don't know, Steve, really the direction. I don't know if Drury's calling any shots. Is it Saylor? Is it Dolan? I don't know how. I doubt Gallant has that much of a say other than he wants to be the toughest team in the league, which is great to hear, but isn't that what every NHL team wants? Every NHL coach wants the opposing team to be scared to come into our building and play us.
Mm-hmm.
So he said the right things, but he doesn't put the team together. If Drury doesn't come up with a great fourth line, then Gallant has to revamp his whole system. And let's not forget really quick, guys, putting an enormous amount of pressure on Lafreniere. You're going to put Lafreniere up in Vucinevich's place to play with Zibanejad and Kreider, probably. Well, maybe not. Kreider might fall down to the third line. I'm not quite sure how they would rotate the lines at that point. You don't know where they're going to put them. But Lafreniere is really going to feel an 82-game season next year because he's going to be that guy up there. He wants to be that guy, but, you know, let's see if he can do it. Let's see how good his season is when he plays every team in the NHL, not just the division.
Yep.
It'll be a totally different hockey game. Totally
and a lot of travel.
I think it'll be fun, honestly.
Oh, I do. I think he's the guy. I told you guys this last time. He is the future leader of this club. There's no doubt in my mind. But he still has to go through it. The way Hedo had to go through it, the way Krapstov, who really struggled, even in the AHL, he struggled. And wherever he went, now he's coming on. Kako, we know his issues, and he came together. So it annoys me that once these guys get to where you want them, and Buchnevich is that guy, he was the homegrown Ranger guy, and you got him right when he had a great season last year and all. Oh, it's too much money, we're going to trade him. Well, damn it, it's like a waste of time. Don't you want to build your homegrown guys? The one thing about Kreider is he's been our guy from the beginning. So I can understand why, you know, I'm glad he's here for that. But he is so inconsistent that you look at his salary and go, damn, for a guy that sometimes, Steve, what happened last year? The last 23 games, oh, yeah, 4 points.
Okay.
I mean, you look at the point production and the money and the cap hit that they're feeling, and you're like, what the hell? But now we're stuck with it. So, and he's 30 years old. There's a lot going on in the Rangers that they have to figure out. And trading all your young guys isn't the answer either. I mean, let's just hope Drury doesn't suck selling a farm away, because we've been down that road. It doesn't work out either.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I mean, I think RP is right. You know, I mean, this team is going to have some cap problems coming up with Truba's salary, with Kreider's salary, and if they were to bring in Eichel, and if not Eichel, they're going to have to pay Zibanejad. So, you know, you're going to have three guys that are going to be making a lot of money, and the years are going to creep up when they have to play, when they have to pay Kako and Lafreniere and Fox. I mean, they may have to do that this year.
Yeah, you might want to say that early, right?
Yeah, so, you know, you're going to have a lot of guys making a lot of money. And, you know, I'll go back to, you know, what I always thought. The Chicago dynasty, and they won their three cups, but the Chicago dynasty started to go downhill when they gave Toews and when they gave Toews $10 million and they gave $10 million out to I'm losing his name now. I can't believe it. But, you know, and then they got a point where they got two guys taking up such a high percentage of the salary cap, and then you're having to bring guys in and out all the time. And to me, that was the end of the Chicago dynasty, when they invested so much money in just a couple of players. You know, this team hasn't made the playoffs even. Forget winning two or three cups. And I'm worried a couple of years down the road, like RP is saying, that you're going to have to start selling off guys. I mean, Buchnevich had the year this year that we've been waiting for 5 years. And
yes,
it hurts to have to let him go. It hurts to have to let him go, you know, for that purpose. But, I mean, talent-wise, I think this team's in good shape. You know, Sammy Blaze also won a cup, too. I mean, I know he wasn't a leader on that team, but I think the more guys you can bring in that have been through the, you know, the rigors of going through four rounds in the playoffs, and St. Louis played, you know, more even in the year they didn't win the cup. I think the more you can bring those type of guys in to support the talent on the top six, you're doing the right thing. You know, the other thing we're talking about at center, they forget, you know, Morgan Barron's name never comes up, but what's he going to be? Is he going to be somebody who can fill one of those spots in a year or two? Personally, I'd like to see more of Gauthier. I don't think he was used properly the last couple of years, in and out of the lineup. And, you know, he's got size, he's got speed, he's shown flashes of having some scoring talent. I'd like to see more of him before they give up on him, too. So I think this team could be in really good shape with the talent in the top six, even bleeding down to the third line, and then having guys like Boudreau and Blaze, if they keep him, and Gauthier and Rooney. I think this team could really be in pretty good shape if they just kind of, like, leave it alone, you know, and don't go having to make these blockbuster trades like the Rangers of the past and bring in all, you know, bring in names like Eichel. Yeah. I think it's just
hey
going to upset the part. You know, I really do.
Hey Glenn, any concern with Blaze? I think he missed about 20 games out of that 55 regular game season with the upper body injury. Like, you know, what's your thoughts as far as health availability when it comes to him? And that was kind of the part of the downside. But what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you always hope that that's something that's going to be, you know, just a one-off thing, and it's not going to be a problem for him in the future. I mean, he's got good size. It's not like he's a small guy that he's throwing his body around. You know, he's got some size. I mean, that's always a, you know, we're talking about Eichel with a disc problem in his neck and bringing him in. I'm more worried about that than Sammy Blaze. But, you know, sure, you never know. But again, you know, you're talking about a guy that's going to be on the third or fourth line. If he misses time, you know, it hurts, but it's not critical to the team. So I'm not really too concerned about that. I like the way he plays. He's what we're looking for. I don't know that you can say he's injury prone. You know, you hope it's just kind of a one-off that happened last year and that he'll be okay. But, you know, something like that, obviously, Steve, is always a concern. So, you know, I think
all right, cool.
Kind
now,
of guy
RP,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, go ahead and finish your thoughts. I was going to go back to RP.
I was just going to say, I think him and Goudreau, those are the kind of guys that Gerard Gallant wants.
Right.
You know, that's part of his system. And you know, the one thing I'll say about him, too, I think he's a good coach. I remember when he got – I don't know if you guys talked about it in an earlier podcast, but I'll just throw my two cents in. I remember when he got fired in Vegas. I remember when he got fired in Florida. And I was surprised because I thought he was doing a good job in those places. So unless I'm not remembering some other issue with management or something or players that came up back then, I haven't been on since he got hired, I don't think. But I'm happy with him. I think he's going to be a good coach. The only concern I have with him is his shelf life is about 2.5 years, so for whatever reason. But we'll, other than that, we'll kind of see what happens. But I'm happy with him. I just want to throw that in. Since I hadn't mentioned it.
When he took, you know, started as the Vegas Golden Knights coach, and then when Peter DeBoer took over from that, I was really puzzling. So to me, I thought that had to be something inside upper management with the Vegas Golden Knights, because you know he had actually a fine team that he was running, and they decided to go with DeBoer out of from San Jose. RP, what about the prospects? What about the expansion draft for the Kraken? What was your thoughts as far as the team selecting, you know, Seattle selecting players from every team except for Vegas, the draft with, the prospects, that's coming through, a bunch of centers and some wingers, Brendan Ottman, if you want to chime in on that, or Jaden Grubb, or anything else you'd like to add from the draft?
The team looks pretty, good. It always looks good on paper. I like Ron Francis. He knows what he's doing out there. It was unusual. It was the total opposite of the Vegas expansion draft. There were no pre-trades, no little side deals not to take. There were no trades made for the expansion draft, which is, I guess, the GMs all learned from the last time around. It was easier to lose the player than to promise cash and draft picks and down the road losing players, draft-wise because of it. From the Rangers standpoint, I don't understand why they didn't protect Blackwell and put Rooney up. I know they were looking for centers, but it was right after they traded for Goudreau, who was a center. So I, for one, thought, well, we just got Goudreau. He's going to fit right in there. Now we can protect Blackwell, who was playing really well, and Rooney would probably be the one to go up. And instead, once they announced Blackwell was going, Seattle took him. Seattle has him penciled in as his second-line winger already. You knew that was all going to happen. So another move that I was a little, and many people were a little surprised about, they signed Howden, and so right away, okay, we can protect Blackwell, and then all of a sudden you see Rooney being the one protected. It's just the direction that they went, and it's something you got to deal with. But you look at production and all again from last season, Blackwell was a really big – he was that player that could play any of the lines. So you needed Blackwell to be that fourth-line guy or that third-line guy. You just drop him in there and bang, he did his job. I love that in hockey players. I get to pick a utility player in baseball. You could put him on the first line. You could put him on the power play. You could put him on the fourth line. Whoever you needed in Blackwell played. And when he first came over, most of us knew nothing about him. So he had a great year, and that was the direction that they wanted to go to. So good luck in Seattle. I'm sure he's going to do well out there. Other than that, I thought the draft went fine. The NHL draft, as you know, Steve, I knew the first couple of picks. I didn't follow a lot of the draft. That's never my forte. The Rangers didn't have a second-round pick this year, so they only had one pick in the first, 70 selections. If you notice, most of these, this was the draft year you should have been trading your draft picks, I thought, especially after the first two or three, because all these guys are all going back to high school, college, junior hockey. There weren't many NHL-ready, come on now, let's go kind of players. As we've had in the past couple of years. So when I see that, I'm thinking, well, there's going to be a team that wants to grow their prospects and all. There was a lot of speculation the Rangers were going to make some sort of deal with Ottawa. Strome was rumored to be going there too. So and that didn't shake out as well. And the Rangers made, I think, a minor deal with another team in the second or the third round, something like that. But it was nothing to brag about and all. It was an uneventful draft, I thought, and unlike years past when we had so many good first-round picks. So that's not going to happen every year. So that's pretty much how it rolls out, and that's fine. I think at this point, everyone just waiting to see what happens with freaking Buffalo, and then we can just move on to getting our team in shape. Cause it's coming around quick, guys. It's July 28th tomorrow. Opening day is October 13th. You're barely 2 months away, a month away from training camp. You need to lock in your roster. You need to figure out what you're doing with your goalies. But let me ask you guys something quick. Rangers don't know if they're going to keep Gorgiev, trade Gorgiev. Would you go after Brandon Holtby or Frederik Andersen right now? Both UFAs, both be on the market tomorrow afternoon? Or would you go with another direction?
They've been proven starters. Anderson,
from what I saw him this year, I think he's shot. Holtby is an interesting idea. He played fairly well in Vancouver when he needed to back up or when he needed to kind of step in because of injury. I hadn't thought of him, but that's an interesting question to bring up. That's a good one, RP.
You know, there might be another one too. Yeah, if Colorado, I don't know about the Caps. Sorry, Steve. If Colorado doesn't sign, what's his last name?
Grubauer.
Right? Grubauer.
Yeah.
He's probably gonna want a lot more money wise. I don't really know. But then again, if he does hit the free agent market, there's no guarantee he's gonna be a starter. So he might not be getting the money that he's looking for. I mean, he made 3.3 last year. I don't know as a backup if he's gonna get that kind of money or not. That was his cap hit last year. So I don't know. His salary was 2.7. So I don't know if he would get that. He played 30 games last year. He appeared in 30 games last year, and he was 9-7. But he had a 1.95 goals against. My thinking is if the Rangers got to decide what they're going to do with Gorgiev now, if you want to get an unrestricted free agent goaltender tomorrow at noon.
Right.
So you might see something last-minute trade-wise happen there too. So there's more than just Eichel going on. Just Eichel's got the headlines right now. But I had read last week that Gorgiev, out of nowhere, I think it was Brooks on the Post or someone else. I'm reading so much by now, I forget. But there's a story going that Gorgiev wants to be a number one. He's not going to be number one in New York.
No.
It's just not going to happen. Good or bad, Shesterkin's the guy. I like Shesterkin. I thought he had a poor start to the season last year, and then he came on strong. And I think he's going to get better and better. He's won at every level. I don't see why he won't here. So he's not going to be a number one here. So I think your best kind of backup is one of these guys that are UFAs that want to play one or two, three more seasons, have experience. I mean, hope he has a Stanley Cup under his belt. It might be something that they might consider. And before you guys start, they already started with the Henrik Lundqvist deal, but he's not medically cleared. So apparently he won't be signing with anybody tomorrow because he's a UFA too on paper. Mm-hmm. But he still didn't get all the clearances to come back. We don't need that Cinderella story now.
No.
just a thought.
RP, what is the status of Huska and Wall? I mean, because obviously if Shesterkin is the starter for the next 10 years, you know, would they bring one of those guys up to be a backup, or are they still ready yet?
I would think, I'm not 100% sure which one is rated higher on the depth chart with Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
I know the intention was to get one of them up. I think Huska might have overtaken Wall, if I'm correct. I forget when I was read the Wolf Pack in a while. I mean, I don't know. The problem with that is, do you want the rookie, who's probably going to have to play 25 games minimum, backing up Shesterkin? I don't know if they're ready for that. Not when every game is the problem. You know what I mean? When every game is so important.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like Gorgiev to stay, though he didn't have a great season last year. I think he was in his own head. The year before, he played great. He played lights out. So
he only played,
he might have
he
just
only
had,
played 13 games, right?
For this year?
The pack. This past year.
Well, who's that played 13 games? Which goalie?
You're talking about Huska.
Oh, Huska, right. Didn't he sign late? Or then he just played 13 games and Wall did it. I don't remember their goalie status because everybody was up and down with the taxi squad crap. So I don't know if you want to put that on them too. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to be on the job learning when every game is so damn important, which it's certain is not in that. So that's a weird thing. I mean, then again, if Gorgiev is a restricted free agent right now, so he doesn't have much leverage. But if he doesn't want to sign, then he'll be in limbo, and the Rangers aren't going to let him sit. So I'm sure that conversation has been going on. That conversation's probably been going on for a while. They're just not bringing it up or talking about it a lot. Because Gorgiev will be a restricted free agent with arbitration rights after this season. But this year, as a backup, he's making 2.4. You could probably get Holtby in that neighborhood, maybe, if he's willing to take a little bit of a pay cut. Because he has to understand that now that he's UFA, I don't think he's going to go to any other team and be a starter. There are a couple of teams he might be able to if they're willing to sign him. So I was just throwing that out there. If you see Gorgiev get traded tomorrow, the Rangers are going to be starting a free agent goalie somewhere.
Yeah.
You get a veteran. Yeah, I get the veteran.
I feel more comfortable with a veteran because you're talking about 25 games, possibly a couple more. So to put that on a kid like Husker or Wall or something is probably a bit too much to ask. Especially if you're looking to win. So I would probably feel more comfortable with a veteran if they were able to bring somebody in.
And they have to sign Husker, by the way. He's a restricted free agent with arbitration rights. So that's another issue with Husker that they're going to have to, sort of address status-wise.
And Wall will probably be the year after that, if I'm not mistaken, because he's a year younger than Husker.
Yeah,
so
he is.
Mm-hmm.
And Wall only played 10 games in the AHL last year. So I don't know who the Rangers other goalie
two,
was.
Two, that's two way behind the years. No way. I'm good.
So
get the veteran. Hey, Glenn, let's get some final thoughts. This is fun dialogue, man. We got a lot of things that's going on, man, a lot of moves. Final thoughts from you, Glenn, and then we'll get to Ranger Prowl and get his final thoughts, and we'll wrap it up, man.
I just want to get to the weekend and see what they do because you're hearing so many rumors and so many different things, and really even past the free agency, too. I really hope he doesn't go making all kinds of moves to make big splashes and everything because I don't think it's necessary. I would like to see this team develop. I think this team could be a playoff team as is if they just bring in, a couple more guys to kind of solidify the bottom six. Like I said, Drury can't stay far enough away from Eichel for me, so I don't want to see that happen at all. And really, there's just so much going on. My head is, like, exploding. I don't know what to believe. I look at these, and I'm like, do I like that? Do I not like that? And really, I'm just kind of, it's like RP says, the Twitter universe is just, like, crazy with opinions and rumors and everything. So I'm just kind of waiting for the first week of September and see where we land and then kind of go from there because it's fun to talk about, but a lot of it is just so much speculation that I don't know what to think. It seems like there's something different going on every day. So it's fun. It's great that there's so much activity going on in the NHL in July. Before we know it, the first week of September is going to be here and training camps are going to open. So it's a pretty short off season. I'm just having fun looking at all the rumors and trying to figure out what I like, what I don't like, what I want to happen, what I don't want to happen. And we'll just kind of see where the chips fall, I guess, for another week, right?
Right. Absolutely. We'll see. Yeah, hey, Glenn, we didn't say this, but, we know this isn't speculation. The NHL schedule had came out. We didn't even touch that. And then the first six games for the Blue Shirts, five of them on the road. Brutal.
Mm-hmm.
As if the Garden wasn't available, why? Right off
hey,
the
how about
five
the
out of six on the road.
How about the Islanders?
Yeah.
The first 13 on the road, they're not home for like the first 6 weeks.
That's because their stadium's not going to be done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, if they can, if they can go 6-7 or stay around 500 in that first 13, they're going to be in really good shape because they're going to have so many games at home at the end of the season.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the Rangers have had seasons like that too, and, you know, you don't want to start off like 2-10 because then it's a big hole to dig out of. But, you know, the Rangers, it seems to me, always kind of have more away games than home games in the earlier or first half of the season. But it seems like they're always playing at home in March, which I always think is a good thing. You want to play home as much as you can later in the season. Just don't need to get yourself in a big hole in the beginning. But, yeah, I mean, the schedule came out, and like you said, we could talk about that if we got time, but starting out a lot on the road.
I don't know. Shout out to Glenn, man. It's good to hear from you, man. RP, your final thoughts, man. Let's see what happens with the free agency, too, man.
Yeah, I'll be happy when Eichel is traded. There's just too much speculation and rumor, and it's fun to talk about, and it's great to talk about, but at the end of the day, until a roster is improved or changed or however you want to call it, nothing's happening. So free agency is always a fun time. See who goes where, how they try to improve on their team, who comes and who goes, all that good stuff. Tomorrow will be a good day. It'll be on ESPN Plus from like noon on, so at least you can watch it on your phone if you're not home, which is great. you know, I'm really interested in what direction the team takes. I truly believe if they get Eichel, it goes one way, and if they don't, they can sort of build up from where they are. It's a wait and see. It's anybody's guess what's going to happen tomorrow. It really is. So I just look forward to see what happens, who signs, who's staying, and then just write about it as much as I can. So keep on following Ranger Proud. I appreciate it. I had some interesting comments today when I wrote about the Rangers to go after Landis Cog. I still believe they should, whether he centers a little bit or what he can do on the ice. The guy is great. He definitely helps scoring production with the Rangers. I'd love to see what he could do on a power play. And other than that, it's a wait and see now. Oh, and really quick, Marc-Andre Fleury definitely got screwed by Vegas. I'm totally confused why they traded him. Nothing against Robin Lehner. He's a great goaltender. Nothing against the other goalie. All this crap on the internet about his having issues mentally and PTSD and all, it's a serious thing, and I support him 100%. It has my ideas here have nothing to do with that. I just thought Fleury was the better goalie, or is the better goalie. He wanted to stay. He was willing to work out a contract, and then they traded him anyway to Chicago. And I read today that he found out on Twitter that he got traded from three different sources. Three different people wrote that on Twitter that.
That's
the owner did tell him, we were probably going to move you to Florida, not to Florida, to Chicago, and there were some other teams interested. But the actual transaction he read about, and rumor is now he's probably going to retire because he really doesn't want to play in Chicago. And, you know, he wanted to stay in Vegas. He wanted to play for Vegas. There it is. You got a goalie who's done everything for you guys in the first 4 years. Hell, tell him you're going to be the backup or anything. He would have stayed. So who knows what's going to happen, but, you know, best of luck to him. It was great to watch him play Pittsburgh, and what he did in Vegas to help that franchise rise and all was phenomenal. So best of luck to him, and I guess, Steve, we'll talk in 2 weeks and see what the hell is going on.
I was going to bring that up too, but I figured we were running out of time. I just saw that it happened, I didn't see the backstory, but I was shocked. I can't believe they went with Lennon over him. I was shocked.
Yeah, he was pretty shocked, too, from what I was just reading. Kevin Weeks on ESPN had a story about it. I didn't read the whole thing yet. Well, watch the whole video yet. But he thought it was going to work out because he wanted to play. I don't think he wants to pick up and move his family again. You know, going to Chicago, it's not really where he wanted to be and all. So he really enjoyed playing in Vegas and all on the ice with the fans. He loved it, he said. So it happens. It's a business. We're learning that the hard way lately. But until next time, boys. Hey,
well, maybe the next time we talk, we'll see that Chicago moved him somewhere else that he wants to go. I mean, he's an asset, so maybe they can get something for him. and moving somewhere. We'll see if that happens by the time we get together again.
All right, cool, man. Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. A lot of moving parts with the draft, free agency, trades, piecing this roster together. RP and Glenn, myself, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. I'll be on Ranger Proud on Facebook, following the stories and posting comments. It was great dialogue for the last couple of weeks, and especially Ranger's Twitter has been on fire. So definitely keep tabs on that. We'll see you guys on. Congrats, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue.